Welcome to the RSC Podcast. This is going to be a very short episode. Reed and Martin and I are here. We are playwrights. And we want to just say to any directors out there or actors out there, if you're the kind of actor or director who says, I don't read stage directions, don't be that guy.
We'll see you next week on the Radio Shakespeare Company Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 478, Reading Stage Directions.
So this podcast is prompted by a couple of things. One is that Reed and I are putting together the script for the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged because it will be published by Broadway Play Publishing this year of 2016 and be available for licensing later this year. So that's in our head, and we're getting the script ready, and we're going, oh, is this clear? Is this not clear? But the second thing is that it's always just been a pet peeve of mine. As a playwright, I have worked with directors in the past, and as an actor, I've worked with directors in the past who say, oh yeah, I don't read stage directions. That's always bothered me because playwrights put those stage directions in there for a reason, and to blithely say I don't read them just seems assholy to me. Is that inappropriate? Is that wrong?
I think you put it mildly. No. I look at it two ways. As a director, I want to gather all the information I can and then make my decisions. So we're not saying you have to read the stage directions and follow them.
Right. You can ignore them.
Please feel free to ignore them.
Yeah.
But it seems like you're not gathering all your potential information
right. That
could help you. If you don't, and as an actor, I read the stage directions. I may not do it.
Yeah.
I may not follow them. As a director, I read the stage directions, and I may or may not follow them.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're very helpful. So that's coming as an actor and a director. As a playwright, I know how hard you and I have worked on two levels,
right,
developing the script over years and years and performing it over years and years,
mm-hmm,
and finding out what works and what doesn't, and then taking the time when it's published to try to make that as clear as you can so you can make this bit work
right. Should
you choose
right. To
do it. Now, again, use it or don't, but I just don't quite understand why you wouldn't. It's like a play is only words.
A play is only dialogue.
Yeah. And a play is not only dialogue, and, you know, that varies.
Yeah.
But in our plays, I don't know the percentage of it, but maybe not half, but a third or a quarter of it is business that we've taken a lot of time to try to explain. So do it or not, but at least read it and sort of get a sense.
I read an article, and I think, and it kills me to say this, I think this was in the Dramatists Guild magazine, and I really should clarify whether that was that's true or not, but I read something where directors were giving advice to young playwrights, and there was, and the advice was, don't write stage directions. Well, F you, excuse me. What the hell? I want to discover everything. An actor saying that. I want to discover everything.
I'm going to suggest, and don't write any dialogue. I would also like to discover the dialogue.
Yeah, discover the dialogue. Write your own goddamn play. Now, in fairness, I'm sure there are playwrights who write, you know, character name, parenthetical description, sadly, then the line, you know, where the playwright is trying to direct the play in the stage directions, and that's not right. That's wrong. But I know, and I know that, for instance, like we're putting together the Christmas script. There's a section in there's a running gag in the Christmas play about how we can't get the Christmas tree lights on. It's not mentioned. It's not talked about. But
it's not mentioned in the dialogue.
It's not mentioned in the dialogue. But we have put it into the script, and again, it's a thing. I guess you could take it or leave, but it's a great thing to leave in because it adds a great pop and a light cue pop at the very end of the show. And so if you, quote, don't read the stage directions, you're not going to get that. Also, having just said that, it occurs to me now, I think directors do read stage directions. They just say they don't. So I don't know why you would say you don't, because it makes you sound like an ass.
Well, it's like I don't read reviews. You don't want to get, you know, that's a different reasoning for that. You don't want to get self-conscious. But
right. Some
high percentage of people who don't read reviews read reviews.
They read the reviews. Now, I will say, as a playwright, I have been burned by putting in too many stage directions, or not too many. I wrote an adaptation of Frankenstein, and in the very first production, the director, who was one of those guys who says, I don't read stage directions, sadly, he read this one, because I said in a scene near the beginning, a ball is going on in the background. So his wife was also the choreographer, and this was in Summerstock. So out of 2 weeks of rehearsal, they spent easily 1 week choreographing a ball, which is not the most important thing in this play. Well, but I wrote it, so...
That gets back to a previous podcast about directing. Yes, use your time efficiently mm-hmm. towards things that are important.
Yeah. And the ball in the background is certainly not important, but this is the thing, you know, be careful what you wish for. Directing Air Affair right now, and I wrote in the stage direction that this happens, or he picks up this prop, and now people are asking me, what's that prop? And I'm going, I don't know. I don't care. It could be Panama. I guess it needs to be... Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think our pet peeve is with our own shows, but like in the Shakespeare show, there's a lot of physical bits. I think of in the Ultimate Christmas show, there's a whole sort of little Nutsy, the elf Nutcracker. Yeah. Well, there's no dialogue.
Right.
So how are you even going to have an idea of how to approach that if you don't read the stage directions?
Well, exactly. They do a funny dance to music from the Nutcracker. That could be the stage direction, but I think that won't be for us. We'll say, here's what we did. Here are the moves we did.
Yeah.
I know that one point, like at some point I'll... you know, we'll want to describe what worked for us, mm-hmm. you know, because it worked for us. What worked for us won't work. Even if they did exactly what we describe, it might not work for them. And I'm thinking of the monologue I do in the comedy show that opens Act Two, the Elixir of Laughs mm-hmm. monologue. Part of me wants to put an asterisk after the lines that get big laughs. Mm-hmm. I won't do that because they might not get laughs for the next guy mm-hmm. or gal, you know. But we want to try to be helpful to actors and say
and directors.
Yeah, we want to say this is where we think things happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing we do put in every script is that the show lasts about an hour 45 or an hour 50 minutes.
This is exactly a stage direction I was thinking of. Yeah. Yes, please be aware the show should run under 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then you don't read that, and then we go see productions of our shows that are like 2.5 hours. And it's like, how do you make this last 2.5? There's no urgency.
There's no urgency, and nobody cares. There's an attention span limit to how much you can watch sketch comedy, even brilliant sketch comedy, as in our case.
There is one script I remember we put in where the laughs were in the stage directions or with an asterisk or mm-hmm. something in all the great books abridged when we do Ulysses yeah. and we hear our own inner monologues. A la Ulysses, we the actors hear them.
Yeah.
And those are recorded.
Yeah.
And so we put in the stage directions, well, there's usually a laugh here so that they can know that they're going to have to probably pause the recording there and when
right.
they record it, plan accordingly.
Yeah, so the stage manager can know, don't go, because typically those lines are all separate cues.
Yeah.
So the stage manager can know, oh, there's a laugh here, I should wait for it to go for the next line.
Yeah, and so it's just trying to help your tech process, but feel free to cross it out if you'd like.
Exactly.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and I'm on the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. I don't know what that means, but if it helps you to go and see them because they're super, please do.
Where can you RSC the RSC? The next time you can see us live is in Qatar in the Middle East, where we'll do two performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged in the Qatara Theater in the capital city of Doha on March 11th, 2016. We'll perform student matinees and conduct student workshops that aren't open to the public earlier in the week. Then we'll return to the U.S. for performances of the complete history of comedy abridged in Allentown, PA, North Andover, Massachusetts, Schaumburg, Illinois, Saratoga,
Rancho Cucamonga and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. And of course, from April 21st to May 8th, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And start booking your flights for Qatar now. And now back to my conversation between Reed Martin and myself, talking about the value of reading stage directions.
I think we're joking with serious intent about the value of reading the stage directions, but I think there's a lesson to be learned for playwrights as well, which is to be very judicious about your stage directions. George Bernard Shaw famously wrote three or four pages of stage directions to establish the scene, mm-hmm. And he got grief for it, but they're kind of fascinating reading. You can then ignore it, and I wouldn't. And nobody listening, I'm fairly confident in saying, is George Bernard Shaw. So you don't need to be doing that either.
He's not still alive. Are you sure?
Pretty sure. He lives on in our hearts.
Okay, there you go. There you have it. Yeah, I don't know. I just have trouble understanding why you wouldn't want the information. I'm being redundant, I think. But why wouldn't you want that information? Just to know what their intent was, and then, okay, then you can go a different direction if you want, but why not gather all the information?
Well, as you say that, I think I'll be redundant, too. I think people say it, to sound important, to sound artistic, to sound something. Oh, I don't do that. For the same reason I don't read reviews. That's crap. Of course you read reviews. Of course you read stage directions. So stop saying you don't, because you're devaluing at least a third of the playwright's work, if two-thirds of it is dialogue.
Well, I know our stage directions are valuable because, what you just said aside, I've definitely seen productions where they have not read. They've told me they haven't, and I can see they haven't. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're not helping yourself.
Yeah.
There, if you had just read the stage directions and considered them, you could have helped this production enormously.
Yeah.
Don't follow them all, but at least know the intent of the moment. So.
Yeah. It's like an actor saying, yeah, I don't read every third line. I don't learn it.
Well, it gets back to the thing. Playwrights are envisioning a whole living thing, and a whole living thing is not just the words the actors say.
Exactly right. No, yeah.
I didn't read the stage direction. Oh, this is set in Norway? Oh, I'm confused.
Right.
Where do you draw the line about what you read and what you don't?
Right, right.
There are plenty of high schools. We met a high school from, I think, Tilney Park, I think is what she said, from the suburbs of Chicago. They had just done the America show, and of course they had done it not with three people, as most high schools will do it with more people. Mm-hmm. And so they divided up that way. And they changed some lines around, which you're allowed to because, certain jokes date. But they take it outside of our original reality that the script is done by three people. Mm-hmm. But it seems like even if you're doing it with eight people or 10 people or 12 or whatever, there still has to be that urgency of we've got to do this in an entire evening. Otherwise, why are we here?
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I was thinking also about what stage directions that you and I have written do we remember? One I remember, it's not a funny stage direction. We have also written some pretty funny ones. I remember one very early in the books show. But in the America show, and it took, I remember including it because it took us so long to figure this moment out.
Yeah.
And we're performing the show hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, how long's he been gone? Since 1430. 1430, that's almost 500 years. Mm-hmm. And then I do a very slow, incredulous take. I used to do a faster take and it didn't get the same laugh. So there's a stage direction there, slow, incredulous take to the other actor. And it works.
And it works. And also in the America script, we sing the national anthem on our first entrance, one beat behind the melody. We sing the words one beat behind the melody.
Demonstrate a little.
Yeah. So it goes, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at, etc.
Yeah.
In the first printing of that script, we didn't describe it right because we had several people. We would hear them sing it. And we go, wait, why are you singing it that way? Well, that's what you said. Oh, no, it's not. It's not certainly. It might be what we said, but it's sure not what we meant.
Read our stage directions. Unless they're wrong.
Unless they're wrong. That's the lesson we're learning. But yes, going back to favorite stage directions in the great books, in the great all the great books abridged, there's a stage direction near the end, near War and Peace, the great climactic battle of Borodino, when Reed, your character, plays the coach, and he's, I forget what character in War and Peace he's playing, but we start to do this, we start to do the battle of Borodino by throwing sports balls at you, and we come out, and here's Dominic Conti.
And Hi, everybody. I'm not in this interview.
No. But and so and the coach character has been walking entered carrying a you know one of those net sacks full of sports balls basketballs whatever so Dominic and I come running out for the Battle of Borodino and start taking balls out of the sack and heaving them at you and then we start to throw them into the audience but the stage direction that I wrote and I'm quite proud of said the professor and Dominic empty their ball sacks into the audience.
Yes, read those stage directions, kids.
There's some pearls. There's some gold there. There's some gold. In fact, in certain stage directions, you probably want to flash them as slides across the set. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite stage directions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. Sunny morning in Somerset on a gorgeous spring day as the curtain rises, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jennifer LeBlanc. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to British broadcasting legend Nicholas Parsons. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 478 1434ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Sometimes we just write them for ourselves. But you must read them. Again, read them, read them, read them. If only to ignore them, ignore them, ignore them.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.